Apologetics, Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Matt Slick Live. I'm your host, Matt Slick. As usual, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Boy, what a busy day I have had today. Boy, I tell you, it just, man. You know, it's a good busy, though, the kind of stuff you enjoy doing, but, oh, man, it's work. Nevertheless, what we do here, folks, if you're new, I'd like to say that about once a week, because I'm a Christian apologist, which means I defend the Christian faith. If you've got questions about the Bible, Roman Catholicism, Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Christian theology, the Trinity, hypostatic union, communicati, videomatum, Lutheranism, Seventh-day Adventism, Eastern Orthodox, logic, evolution, UFOs, all kinds of stuff. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Sorry, a little out of breath. I was running, literally just hustling and moving and grooving, trying to get as much done as I can, and stuff like that. Plus, when you get older, you know, you don't. I remember when I was younger. I mean, I was always very athletic, and I could run like the wind, and you know, just. It was awesome, and then within 3 minutes, my heart rate was normal. Now, if I think about running, there's issues. So I got to deal with a lot of stuff, but you guys wouldn't know what that's like. Anyway, like I said, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to, let's see right there, Tom, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Tom. I have a question for you.
Sure.
There's this movement called the Hebrew Roots.
Yes.
They claim that all modern Christianity is pagan because we don't celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday versus worshiping on Sunday. Can you provide me some scripture to respond to that?
Sure. I've written on this on the CARM website, and all you got to do is go there, carm.org, and you can type in the words worship on Sunday, which is what I'm doing because the notes are right there. And there's an article, why do we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday? And the reason is because, and the primary verse I like to go to is Romans 14, 5 and 6, Romans 14. And it says there, one man regards one day another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. So what is he saying there is, if we're supposed to worship on Saturday, then why is it that Paul the Apostle says each person is to be convinced in his own mind? If we're supposed to worship on Saturday, he would have said, you must worship on Saturday. Also, check out Colossians 2, 16 and 17. I got a yawn coming on. Sorry about that. It says this, therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival, which is yearly, or a new moon, which is monthly, or a Sabbath day, which is weekly. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but its substance belongs to Christ. And also, Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, and he prolonged his message until midnight. So there's other verses like this. So those are the verses I would go to.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, cool. I try to remember those. Look them up. I can go to your website and look that up.
Yeah, they're right there. And there's also some more verses. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2.
I didn't know if you were familiar with, like...
I'm sorry?
This Hebrew root.
Yeah, it's a cult.
Say that when God said remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy, that we're violating the Torah by not doing it. The independent of what, and then they downplay any letter written by Paul is, viewed as not scriptural.
Well, here's the thing, is that in Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 15, Jesus appeared to Paul and commissioned him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So you bring that up to them and say, this is what Jesus said. So now you're calling Jesus a liar. And who are you to say Paul isn't true unless it's because you want to submit what the Word of God says to your personal preferences? And then that's, you got to just tackle them, okay? Because that's what they're doing. All right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bad group.
Thank you.
There's different views and different there's variations within the Hebrew Israelite movement. There's the Black Hebrew Israelite movement, and but basically, you know, some are white people based and some are black people based, but both of them are cultic, need to be avoided. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, man. All right. Well, God bless.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. All right, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And let's see, we don't have anybody waiting right now, so we got five open lines. Give me a call, folks. Let's see, I'm taking my notes here. What I do is I actually keep notes on, you'll hear me typing sometimes, I keep notes on some of the things that people say, and I have a link set up in a table on Carm where I have a Facebook link and a YouTube link along with the topics and generally the minute in the video or the audio where that topic comes up. And so that's what I'm typing about and keeping notes so that people can call me up. And nobody's calling right now. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. And should we keep the Sabbath? Well, let me talk to you about that. Yes and no. Of the Ten Commandments given in Exodus 21 through 17, the Ten Commandments, only nine of them were reiterated in the New Testament. And the one that was not reiterated as being valid and must be followed was the Sabbath. The reason is because The Sabbath is found in Christ because Jesus is our rest. And he says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. So in him, we have the rest from the requirement of having to keep the law in order to be right with God, which is why the Bible says that we maintain that man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law, which means apart from keeping the Sabbath. So what the Hebrew Israelite movement does, and its variations, often deny the Trinity. Some groups deny the deity of Christ. Some groups add various forms of legalism. You've got to keep this law in order to be saved with God. And the problem with that is that, now if they want to say that Paul's epistles aren't scripture, go to Luke 18:9-14. And that is where Jesus gave the account of the Pharisee and the tax gatherer, and how the Pharisee went up to the mount to pray, and he kept the law, and the tax gatherer did not, and just said, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus says that the tax gatherer was the one who was justified, who was saved, not the other one. So we see that Paul the Apostle taught consistently with Jesus. And also Matthew 7:22-23, it says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, your name perform many miracles? And I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Now what's happening? Those people on the day of judgment, what were they appealing to be saved? But their faith and their works. And so they're condemned. Anyway, those are some of the verses inside of the words of Christ that say the same thing that Paul the Apostle does. All right, let's get on the phones with Abram from North Carolina. Abram, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. Got the yawns. Long day. Got the yawns. So I didn't get enough sleep, so my bad. But what do you got, buddy?
Oh, my question is, how do you memorize Bible verses?
What do you mean by utilize?
Memorize.
Oh, memorize. What I do is, like anything else, you got to understand that it takes a little bit of practice. Your brain will adjust. It will adjust. So there's the, whenever I've taught this, I always use one verse, the same verse, to teach this. And it's 1 Peter 2:24. Now, I have said 1 Peter 2:24 so many thousands of times over the years that when I say 1 Peter 2:24, it's like one word with a lot of syllables, 1 Peter 2:24. So what I do is I repeat 1 Peter 2:24 over and over and over again so that I can say 1 Peter 2:24 or 1 Peter 2:24 or 1 Peter 2:24 or even 1 Peter 2:24. Now, what verse was I referring to there? What address did I just tell you? What was it? Tell me.
224, 1 Peter 224.
There you go. Now, see, this is how you memorize. You first do the address, not the verse. Because if you lose the address, you tend to lose the verse. So what's the verse again, the address?
1 Peter 224.
Right. And you see, I'm getting you to say it several times. I've said it several times. People are going to go home and go to bed tonight and go, 1 Peter 2:24. What does it say? He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his stripes we are healed. That's what the whole verse is. But what I'll do is, I'll say, okay, 1 Peter 2:24 says, he bore our sin in his body on the cross. That's all I need to remember, because that's what I want to remember out of that when I'm on the radio. If I'm going to talk about, well, he bore our sin in his body on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24. Well, where does it say he bore our sin in his body on the cross? That's in 1 Peter 2:24. What does 1 Peter 2:24 say? He bore our sin in his body on the cross. Where does it say he bore our sin in his body on the cross? 1 Peter 2:24. What is 1 Peter 2:24? You go back and forth like this. You do it for like 2-3 minutes. And so when what happens, people talk to me, and I have to actually break the habit. They'll say to me, well, I know that Jesus bore our sin in his body, and I want to say right away, 1 Peter 2:24. It's automatic to me. That's how I memorize what those verses and everything is. And also I recommend take a piece of paper, put an inch column on the left, and write in 1 Peter 2:24, and then on the right, use, I say you, NASB, that's my version, and write out the entire verse. And then fold it up and keep it with you. And the next verse you come across that you need to memorize, do the next one, John 3:16, and then you memorize, you write the whole verse. And that way you're in a line, you're waiting, you can pull this out and you can go over them. And this is the way to do. Now you got to remember, I've been doing this for 40 years. So I have hundreds and hundreds memorized like this. I don't expect anybody else to do that because they don't do what I do. They don't have to memorize all these things. You don't have to. But this is how I memorize, and this is what is useful. Plus, I go places, I teach it, and then it gets anchored into my brain. And then what happens is your brain gets so used to memorizing these things that it becomes adapted to it. And I can tell you, like, for example, I was doing research last week on what is the body of Christ. And I went over some verses. I hadn't had them memorized before, but I remember the addresses. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 2 Corinthians 6:16. And I remember that, just the addresses that deal with we are indwelt by God, we're the temple of God. So I now have two of them, so to speak, memorized. And that's how I do it, okay?
Okay, great.
All right, man. God bless,
thanks,
buddy.
Bob.
Okay. All right, that was Abram from North Carolina. May the Lord bless you. I'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get on the phones to Jeanette from North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. Jeanette, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a
first-time
sure. caller. Well, I called one time, and then it was like it was almost time for you to go off. So I'm so thankful to be able to speak to you. Yes. I just wanted to know some supporting scriptures that you would give, just a few, to help witness to an individual that is heavily into Catholicism.
Okay. What I would do is, there's two main areas, salvation and Mary, the ones that I focus on, the ones I think are the biggest problems in Catholicism. There's a lot of other problems, but the gospel message is it. And so it helps if you memorize the addresses of Romans 3:28, Romans 4, 1 through 5. But you could just memorize the address Romans 4, 1 through 5. Because it's a very...
Romans
4, 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. And then what it says there is this. I'm going to read it to you. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Now there's a lot of other verses I can reference you, but this pericope, a pericope is a section of Scripture, big or small. This pericope is very useful. Because in it, verse 5 in particular, it says to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Roman Catholicism teaches that you are justified or you obtain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. That's paragraph 2068 of the Catechism. And, of course, it's a false teaching. And so this is a good starting point. Now, they may go to James 2. And James 2:24, faith without works is dead. And they'll say, well, you say yes. And here's the concept you got to understand. In theology, we have what's called essentia and fiducia. These are Latin terms. Essentia is mental assent. Fiducia is a heartfelt trust. So James is talking about the difference between essentia and fiducia, between just mental acknowledgement and true saving faith. And so the justification that he's talking about in James 2 is before people, not before God. So you can go to my website and read up on James 2, and these are the kind of things you need to know. Okay?
All right. Thank you. That was very helpful. You have a blessed evening.
All right. Sounds good. Well, God bless.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, before we get to the next caller, one of the things I'm working on and have been working on for a few months now is a document called Outlines on Roman Catholicism. And I produced Outlines on Calvinism, and this is Outlines on Roman Catholicism. And what it is an outline form. Because I started doing this for debates and teaching, and I would just use the outline format because it was so efficient. And then I started sharing it with people on various topics, and they wanted the outlines. And they said, oh man, these are so helpful and so useful. So this outline on Catholicism has topics in it. It's not ready to be released, but it's alphabetical. Apocrypha, Atonement, Authority, Baptism, Bible, Catechism, Charity, Works, Eucharist, Forgiveness, the Gospel, all kinds of things, and the index is like 5 or 10 pages long. It's 130 pages long, this document I've been working on, 130 pages. So I'll be releasing that in a month or two or three or four, depending on how busy I get, because I'm always so busy. I got so much to do. But that's something that people might be interested in getting later on. It'll be on Amazon. And you can go to Amazon, look for my books there. Just type in my name on Amazon.com. Just go to Matt Slick. Type there and you'll find stuff. Okay, let's get to Bill from North Carolina. Bill, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks, Matt. Could you speak on prophecy? I was looking online that you said that, from my understanding, that prophecy no longer exists, but you believe in the gifts.
Yeah, I believe prophecy.
So how
prophecy exists? Yeah. prophets don't exist in the Old Testament sense, but go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just saying, you know, because you still have people saying that they're prophets.
Yeah.
And, you know, that if you, you know, trust God, that you can believe that in anybody who wants the gift can have it.
Yeah.
And so
there are,
I'm trying to,
there are those who call themselves prophets, and the issue then becomes, what is a prophet? A prophet in the Old Testament sense is no more. And the New Testament prophet, that's interesting, because what I see, unfortunately, is a lot of people who will say, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, and they'll claim certain things for themselves. And they shouldn't do that. It needs to be affirmed by the people around them who would say that this is what they are. But nevertheless, prophecy is the proclamation of things future that are not known. And so, is this gift possible in the church? Absolutely. I do not believe that all the charismatic gifts have ceased. I affirm that they continue to this day. But I also want to say that along with it, I do not believe that you have a person who can walk around saying, for example, I'm a prophet, what do you want to know? I don't believe that's the case. So God can certainly use prophetic utterances through various people in various contexts, and this is possible. He may use one person more than another in a particular gifting area, but that's a position I hold to. And so I think we need to be very, very careful about these gifts, though, and how we use them. Okay?
So what would you say about a person that God's using in that capacity? I mean,
well, if God is using the person in that capacity, then praise God. Because when you say if God is using the person that way, well, if God's doing it, then praise God. But how do we know? Well, you know, if someone says to me, Matt, you know, the Lord told me what's going to happen to you next year, and you're going to give me your car. I go, oh, okay, well, let's see what happens next year. Doesn't happen? Okay, you're a false prophet. Well, what are you going to do? So we have to be very careful about these things. People tend to use them for self-exaltation. And these gifts are used for the edification of the body, not of the individual. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Bill? Okay, man. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. May the Lord bless you, and we'll be right back after these great messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get to John from New Jersey. John, welcome. You're on.
Hey, Matt. I have two very quick questions. One is about Hillsong.
Mm-hmm.
So are they preaching another gospel that could send you to hell?
Okay, I'm going to be careful how I say this, because I have not been able in the past year and a half, I've desired to do this. I've not been able to study the new Apostolic Reformation, including the Hillsong movement, sufficiently to be able to make a judgment. Every time I approach it, I just get landslided with all kinds of stuff I got to take care of. So I've not been able to study that. But I will say this. I would stay away from Hillsong. There have been far too many problems, aberrant teachings that have come out of there, and let's just say that I would avoid them. I would avoid their music and some other issues that are related to it. So I'll say that generically right now, okay? Because what I've studied, what I've seen, is not good. And I like to have documentation where I can say, this person said this, this group said that, here's these words. And I haven't gotten to that point yet. I have just been absolutely buried, swamped. So, sorry, wish I had a better answer for you. Okay? But
okay, because I emailed Justin Peters. He said we both agree that they don't expand on, they don't talk about hell. I've been going there for 7 months, and I've been going there because my roommate don't speak a lot of English, so they have translators there to translate for him.
Okay. Well, I think it was a Hillsong that did the video Little Town of Bethlehem. And it was a cabaret with dancing girls in a chorus line. And it was just horrible. Wow. And, it's just, what happens is people are different. And some are more intellectual, some are more emotional, some have varying degrees of both. Some have wounded, and some have certain social needs they have to have met. People are just complicated creatures. There are cult groups that will attract certain kinds of people, depending on how the cult works. I'm not saying Hillsong's a cult, but it tends to draw those kind of people who are more experiential. And I'm not denouncing experience. It's a great thing to have the presence of God, and I'm for that. However, it must be balanced with the truth of the Word of God. And though what I've heard from Hillsong and the movement of Hillsong, women pastors and teachers, which is directly against Scripture, what I've heard is, how do I say this politely, unfortunate theological statements being made demonstrating the lack of theological understanding. And it doesn't make someone not a Christian, but it can potentially make them dangerous depending on what area that it is. So one of the things I can't do very well on Sunday mornings is watch TV in the religious channels, because I start yelling at the TV. And so I want to rest. It's ridiculous, the things that I see, the things that I hear. But what I've been wanting to do is getting all situated where I have so many things taken care of and have enough people to help me to take care of the things that are getting in the way, that I can then focus on doing an expose on the New Apostolic Reformation and the groups associated with it. And it needs to be done. And others have done it. And Justin Peters is doing a great job in that area. But we need more and more people to expose these problems and the cult-like things going on in them in certain areas. So, you know?
Yeah, I came out of the NRA movement when I was younger. I came out of that church in South Jersey. But one quick question. What's a good study Bible to get, in your opinion?
Wow. A Reformation study Bible. That's what I would...
Oh, the Reformation study Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. All right. That's good. I'm going to check that out. Because I have two MacArthur study Bibles.
Yeah, he's good.
But I know he denies the gifts, right?
Yeah, that's okay. You know, he's allowed to have a different opinion than I do, maybe you do, and others. But he's a good man of God who knows a lot. He's been used by the Lord greatly. So when you come to those positions, hear his arguments, see if you think they carry water, write notes in your Bible if you agree or disagree and why, and move on. Nobody has it all right. I mean, could you imagine if there was the slick study Bible? I mean, that just sounds wrong from the beginning. But nobody's going to agree with everything that I would put in there. So,
right.
That's okay.
I understand.
All right?
All right, Matt, thank you. I'm praying for your ministry. I love what you do. I'm
Thanks.
Definitely praying for you and your wife, Matt.
Hey, appreciate that. And I really do. Thank you very much. Okay.
All right,
God bless. In fact, before we get to the next caller, let me just fill you in that people have been praying for my wife, and for those who don't know, she doesn't let me talk about her on the radio very much, but I'm going to say it anyway. She's got some serious inherited genetic difficulties, and I'm going to just say that she is improving. She's a trooper, and people have lately been saying to her, wow, you're walking better, you're doing this better. She is doing much better. And I want to thank every one of you who has prayed for her. She's got all these issues, and Lamo West Husbandus is one of them. And she's surviving all kinds of stuff, but I want to thank you for praying for her and me. And I just want to let you know that it's working. Okay. All right, let's get on the phones with Jeff from Utah. Jeff, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey there.
Hey.
I wanted to know if there is any correlation between Nazarite, and a Nazarite vow. If you are from Nazareth, you're a Nazarene. Where does the Nazarite vow come from?
It's actually, they're not really related. I don't, but you know, because the words are so similar, I would suspect that there's probably some very early on connection that maybe a Nazarene did a vow and it became known as Nazarite vow, and then different ones would hold to Nazarite vows, not necessarily from Nazareth. So that's what I suspect. So Jesus was, you know, Jesus of Nazareth. He's born in Bethlehem, and then he moved to Nazareth, and he was raised there. In fact, if I remember correctly, when I went to Israel, we went and we saw one of Herod's like a summer retreat area, and it was just vast. It was huge. And it was really interesting because the tour guide said, look down there, and we looked down from the wall out into a field area, you know, half a mile, 2 miles out, that kind of thing, a mile or so, whatever, I can't remember too well. And he says, this is where Jesus would have been playing as a child, in this area right here, right under the nose of Herod. It was just an interesting thing. But nevertheless, and so a Nazarite is someone who consecrates himself to God for life. Usually it's for life. Often won't drink wine and won't, I just thought of something that's interesting, and won't cut their hair, though I don't think those are necessary requirements, but those are the general covenantal ideas that are self-imposed by the people who would hold to that. Okay?
All right, that's what I kind of wondered.
Okay, I just read something. I'm just looking at a commentary. Uncut hair symbolizes strength and life. Perhaps this is the intended meaning of Nazir when used to describe Joseph in the blessing of Jacob, 49:26, and blessing of Moses, Deuteronomy 33. Vineyards were not pruned in sabbatical or jubilee years, were said to be Nazir. So they weren't pruned. Maybe that's where it got the Nazirite vow, where they wouldn't cut their hair. How about that?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to you in Arizona.
We're supposed to be there in April. How about that? So
I'm going there in 2 weeks. So.
Oh, where are you going to?
Up near Flagstaff.
Oh, okay, that's a nice.
A little
area.
Bit north.
Yeah, it's a little cooler than the Phoenix area we're going to look to. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right, Jeff. Well, God bless.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Michael from Michigan. Michael, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question was, I actually had two questions. The first one was, I've heard it said by a few preachers that when Jesus was in the earth, that he operated as a man, not denying hypostatic union, but in the earth he operated as a man.
That's correct.
I want to know if that's true or not.
That's correct. Now, we got a break, so hold on, and we're going to go over this because it'll be important, folks. Please stay tuned. Be right back after these messages. We have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Michael from Michigan, you still there?
Yeah, I am.
All right, so we kind of got cut off there. Why don't you go over that again?
Yeah, so I was told by several preachers that when Jesus was in the earth, he operated as a man. Mm-hmm. Not denying hypostatic union, but he operated as a man. So I just want to know, was that true? And if you can expound upon that.
Yes, so hypostatic union teaches that in the one person are two distinct natures, the divine and the human, God and man. And so Jesus, according to Luke 2:52, grew in stature and wisdom, but it says, I think in the next verse, and he remained in subjection to his mother and his father. So he was there in Israel. And there's, anyway, so at that point, when he entered into his ministry, he did what he had to do, and he died on the cross. So he was not physically as a man anyplace else. Because by definition, a man can only be in one place at a time. And so he was a man. So the human part of him, so to speak, the human nature, could only be one place at a time. Now, in the ubiquitous nature of the divine aspect then, there was ubiquity, there was universal presence. And how we could talk through those and how we might work with those is would take a long conversation. But, yeah, that was it. But then we have what's called a doctrine called perichoresis. And what that is that within the Trinitarian communion, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they interpenetrate each other in their essence so that there is ultimately one will. But as the Father is everywhere, and the Holy Spirit's everywhere, and the Word is everywhere, then by necessity, there's the attribute of the person of Christ having some form of ubiquity, because the attribute of the divine nature is ubiquitous, ever-present. So that cannot be dispelled. Now, how that works in the person of Christ, we don't know, since he apparently cooperated with the limitations of being a man, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, and having been made under the law, Galatians 4, 4. So we can speculate how that works, but we can't solve it precisely, because no one knows for sure. Okay? I don't know if that helps or not. Are you there? Hello? Maybe we lost them. I'll give them
hello, can you hear me?
Yes, there you are. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I was saying thank you so much. Yes, that does help a lot, and so eloquently, too. The other question I had was years ago, probably over 10 years ago, when I was a teenager, I called and I asked you a question in regards to the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you said that you wasn't sure that you was really interested in that you was going to study it. And that question was, when John gave the word, when he said that the Lord hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And I said, was that any correlation with one of the first deacons, Deacon Nicholas? I heard that from a preacher one time. He didn't give any proof or any commentary further than that statement. And so I want to know, did you know if there was any correlation with that? I was told that he had deflected from the faith, and I don't even know what is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So I just wanted to know. I don't know if you remember all that. But yeah.
No, I don't remember, and I'm embarrassed to say I didn't study it, or I may have and then forgotten.
Okay.
Because I am so inundated. It's not me whining. It's just the nature of what I do.
No.
That
oh yeah, absolutely.
That I'll study things and forget. I've even written articles that I look on my website and go, I don't remember reading that or writing that. Good. So I've written so much over the years and studied so many things, I just don't remember too much anymore of what I did and what I didn't do. So that is a good question. Revelation 2, the Nicolaitans. I don't know. And I want to study it, but even my schedule for sitting down with the show, I've got things to do, and I got to jump on stuff.
I totally understand. And I don't even know where to begin to even study it. I haven't been to seminary, so I don't, know what resources to use. I have my few, systematic theology books, Norman Gessler and different ones, but I don't even know where to start, so yeah.
Well, here we go. What I'm doing is looking, because I have all this technology in front of me, and it really makes me look good anyway, or I should say sound good. But I'm looking at a commentary, and it says, there has been much speculation concerning the identity of the Nicolaitans, but the scriptures do not specify who they were. They apparently were a sect wrong in practice and in doctrine. And that's one of the views. What I have what you might find later on is that there'd be an archaeological discovery where a document or a writing inscribed someplace mentions of Nicolaitans and something that they've done. We've found over the years that this kind of thing happens repeatedly So there might be something later on to shed some light on that. I don't know. Okay.
So I got to be an archaeologist. Got it.
Okay, man. All right.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Bless you.
All right. All right, let's jump on the line with John from Georgia. John, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing today, Matt?
I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. What do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on Donald Trump. Like, do you think he's good for the country, and why do you think a lot of Christians support him and everything you got?
Well, I can only give him my opinion, and I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for. I'm no Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a constitutionalist. But I've learned to like him. I do not trust the media at all. As far as I'm concerned, most of the media, not all, well, the left media, are a bunch of liars, and I don't trust them. And I've seen it firsthand what they've done, and why Trump is hated by them is he goes directly to the people, and you can sign up on. Twitter and get his tweets. You can find other stuff. I wish I had a website that where they put the news down, what was going on. I'd be on that because I don't trust the media and their spin. I just don't. Now, he's done things about immigration. I have no problem with immigration, personally. Just come in legally. That's all I say. Just do it legally. But coming over illegally is a problem. And I lived in San Diego for 15, 16 years. And let me just say that illegals were everywhere. And it was very often that I had to speak Spanish just to get around and do things. And I could tell you story after story. And I understand that, you know, they want to have a better life, but come in legally. And we need to have our own language be English, not be broken up. That's how you weaken a nation. And Trump's for that as well. I like those ideas. He does tax cuts, and he's going to do another one pretty soon. Well, that's great. That stimulates the economy. So there's a lot of good. Then there's some not so good stuff with him. He seems to be a womanizer to some degree, and I believe very strongly in the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And so a few of the things he's done, I've understood, have restricted a little bit of that, and I'm not for that at all. So what do you do? I mean, I know Obama is now trying to claim credit for the economy that's doing so well, but he can't. Trump is undoing so many things that Obama did, and what Obama, as far as I was concerned, Obama was a Muslim Marxist communist. Some of the things he did, a lot of people don't know how bad he was. But I like Trump. Am I going to vote for him again? I didn't vote for him before. Am I going to vote for him this time? I don't know. But like I said, I'm a constitutionalist. I believe we should stick to the Constitution and enforce the laws that are already there. And by the way, when people say that the children are in cages because at the borders because of Trump, no. Those are the laws that were already passed before Obama and under Obama. And even during Obama's tenure, people were treated the same way. So the leftist media spins things in such a way that you can't get the truth from them. And this is why there's so much brouhaha about him and stuff. So it's interesting, you know. I got to study him more. Well, but, okay.
Well, the way you explained it, you kind of went to what he's doing for the country, and
I like it.
The right way to do it. And I can respect that, but as far as Christians getting behind him, like Franklin Graham and Jerry Falwell Jr. And a lot of Christian preachers, false preachers in my opinion, but can't we kind of say, come on now, he does not exhibit the fruits of the Spirit?
Well, incidentally, it's fruit, singular, but I could see that, but you got to understand something too. I know what it means to be a fighter, because I moved 26 times before I was 12. I was super skinny. I was anorexic, buck tooth, and lived on military bases. And so when we got into civilian life, it was a radical adjustment for me. I learned how to become a fighter, not in a physical sense, but determination and resisting and standing for things that are right. And so I understand him, I think, a little bit more than the average person in that respect. He's a fighter. He thrives off of what happens and what the media does to him. And they don't realize this is how he is. And if they want to undo him, stop attacking him. Work with him. He will become very gentle, and he'll work with you. But this is just, you know, my opinion about it.
Yeah, what you just said about he's a fighter and you're a fighter,
yeah.
I get that. But do you think that's Christ-like to attack back?
Yes.
And to criticize people and,
yes.
and to say stuff like he does?
Well, I don't know. Stuff, he said so many things. I can't say which part of those things that he said. Some of the things
exactly.
are some are inappropriate,
yeah.
and some are appropriate. But Jesus did say very strong things to people, call them whitewashed sepulchers. You're your father, the devil, etc. So there comes a time when people need to say what needs to be said. And I absolutely just love it when he just snots on the media. Oh, I'm like, I want to yell and just say yes. Like I said, I don't trust the media. And I have some inside information about some things and how they've blatantly misrepresented information. And I believe that the media is working against the country in a lot of areas. It spreads too many lies. It's way too leftist. And there are.
We can agree that they do lie.
Yeah. There are conservative things. I have an app on my phone where I get my news from. And the app is called Conservative News Pro. And it has conservative groups in them. And I'll also go to USA Today and CNN and see what they say about the same topics. There's quite a difference of spin on things.
Yeah.
Conservative News Pro. That's what I do.
Sure. Okay, well, thank you for taking the time, and I appreciate
sure.
your conversation.
Okay. Well, God bless, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. So let's get on to Mike. We've got about a minute left in the show. Mike, what do you got, buddy?
All right. I called last week with the same amount of time, and I was asking about prayer, and you told me that God ordains us to pray. And I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Well, here we are again. All right, I'll call back.
Call back tomorrow earlier. Okay, buddy, God bless. All right.
All right, bye.
Okay, I guess God ordained that twice in a row. Hey, folks, we'll be back tomorrow. May the Lord bless you. Have a great evening, okay? And by his grace, I'm back on the air, and we'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.